Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. Our message today is titled, What About When God's Timing Doesn't Match Your Timing for Prayer Answers?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. This week I'd like to talk with you about God's timing and His answer to our prayers. What can we do when God's timing doesn't match our timing? What can we do when God seems late, even very late to us in bringing us His deliverance? And how can we understand it when sometimes we're even a long time in suffering, but do not yet see God's answer? So today, that's what I'd like to talk about with you, God's timing and answer to our prayers, and understand it better by the Scriptures. First thing I'd like to say is, when you look at the Bible, God answers a lot of prayers in the Bible of His people. And He basically has three ways that He answers them. Number one, He answers them with a resounding yes and an immediate answer. And this is our favorite answer from God. Let me give you some examples. Take out Mark chapter 10. Jesus meets a blind man. The blind man says, Lord, let me receive my sight. And bang, he receives his sight. Luke chapter 17, Jesus meets 10 lepers. They pray for mercy. Heal us of our leprosy. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And bang, they're healed immediately on the way. Acts chapter 4, the disciples say, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And the house was shaken immediately, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's great when God answers our prayers in this way. We're overjoyed. In my own life, sometimes I pray for strength for the day, or for power in a sermon, or for insight in counseling, or for safe travel in a car, a plane, or a boat. And I'm thrilled when I get an immediate answer right away. I love that. Sometimes it even gives us miracles. How happy we are when God answers our prayers right away with a resounding yes. And the skies part, the clouds roll together, the thunder claps, and down comes the lightning bolt, and there's our answer. So we love it. This is our favorite of God's answers. And when He does this, we say, God really knows what He's doing. Yeah, God, sure, has He got it all together because His timing exactly matches my timing. Second way God answers prayers is with a no. And that's very difficult for us. Take, for example, Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, and to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Three times I besought the Lord about us that it should leave me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, over time, learned to rejoice in his thorn, for he learned, when I'm weak, then I am strong. But for a long time, he hated it. He hated that thorn, and it was difficult for hard to hear God say no. But when He says no, remember, it's for our good. It was partly because of God saying no to me and my prayers of being a captain on a boat one day that led me into the path of being a captain of souls and a pastor in the pulpit. We don't like it when God says no to us, but sometimes a no is what we need. Third, God sometimes answers our prayers with a yes, but not right now. And this is really, I think, the least favorite of our answers from God, because it requires of us to wait on Him. And waiting is hard. Let me give you some biblical examples of that. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, gets a promise that he's going to have a son, that his offspring will be as many as the stars and things like this. He was 75 years old, and he was promised to be the father of many nations. That's good. Yes. But it took 25 years of waiting before that promise came true in the birth of Isaac. A yes, but not right now. Can you imagine waiting 25 years for God to fulfill a promise to you of his word? Take also Joseph, for example. When he was 17 years old, he had dreams that he'd rule and rule over even his family. But 12 plus years passed before that promise came true. And in the meantime, what happened? He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into Egypt as a slave. And then he was betrayed and thrown into prison on a false charge of adultery by Potiphar's wife. He was in a stinking prison. The butler whom he helped with an interpretation of a dream forgot him. He was left to rot in a stinking prison till the day came when God's word for him came to pass and was fulfilled, and he was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh to rule over Egypt. Can you imagine waiting 12 years, especially when you're in a stinking prison? He said, yes, but wait. Israel was 420 years in bondage in Egypt till God delivered them. And now a personal example, Beth, my wife, just recently celebrated her 24-year anniversary of being in pain and aches. In fact, she told me she remembers the day it happened to her, September 13th, 1988. She was a flight attendant, and up until this point in her life, she had lots of energy. She kept a very crazy schedule as a flight attendant. She was lifting heavy baggage all day long, did hard work. And the plane was moving across the tarmac toward another position, and they almost collided with another plane. So they had to slam on the brakes. And she was thrown into a shelf and hit herself and then was thrown backwards. It was such a jolt. About an hour later, she got woozy, dizzy, nauseous, went home from work that day, and never recovered. 24 years later, still in aches and pains. So we pray for deliverance for her every day. But sometimes God gives us a yes, but not right now. But this is often our least favorite of God's three answers to us. And what's the problem here? What's the problem is we generally don't like to wait. Why? Because we have no patience. Very profound, isn't that? Why do we have no patience? Well, because we're in pain, number one. Number two, because we're really just little children. I like Jerry Seinfeld's joke on this. He says, with children, everything is up. With adults, everything is down. He says, think about children. Grow up. Keep up. Get up. Speed up. Speak up. Everything with children is up. With adults, everything is down. Calm down. Slow down. Sit down. Pipe down. So everything with children is speedy. Everything with adults is on a different time schedule. And I'll tell you, we are children, ultimately, and God is the adult. Our timing does not often match the adult, who is God. Consider, it's inconceivable to a child that it might be good for them to wait till after dinner to have the ice cream cone. Inconceivable, to borrow a line from Princess Bride. But to an adult who understands the timing of things, it's good to wait. But we are impatient children. And the Bible is full of people who feel just like you do, and I do, like Habakkuk. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to thee violence, and thou wilt not save? The saints in Revelation 6 say, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before thou wilt judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? How long? David says in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? All of us are waiting for deliverance from some trouble. What is yours? What are you waiting for today? But we are just like little children. We don't understand an adult's maturity, wisdom, and timing on things, God's timing. And so we pray with the psalmists, Psalm 102, incline thy ear to me, answer me speedily when I call, for my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. Can you relate to that today? Is that your prayer? Are you tired of waiting for God to deliver you from something you're struggling with? What is it? What is it today? So, what are we to do when we have to wait? Two options. Ready? This is also very profound. Get out your pencils. You can either not wait, you can get impatient, you can give up on God, abandon your hope, cease to believe, or option two, you can wait. You can continue to wait on him. I met a guy at the Publix supermarket recently, and he said he didn't believe in God, didn't want to hear anything about it when I tried to witness to him. Why? Because he said when he was a teenager, he prayed to God once for a deliverance from some bodily ailment he had, and he didn't get it. Well, at least he got a no or a not right now. But he gave up on God for this, and he didn't want to hear about Jesus when I wanted to share him with him because he would not wait. He'd gotten impatient. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to give you a warning right now. It never goes well when we don't wait upon God. That means when we abandon our hope in him, when we run ahead of him, his timing. And the Bible is full of examples of this. Look at Samuel and Saul. Saul would not wait for Samuel 8 days or 7 days. At the end of that, Samuel arrives just after Saul has pulled the trigger at a time and offered the sacrifice himself instead of Samuel. And what happens? He loses his kingdom over it. Abraham and Sarah, they're waiting 10 years for God's promise of a son to come to them. And finally, Sarah is thinking one day, we got to help God out here a little bit. Let's take the matter into our own hands. Let's help him fulfill the promise here. Take Hagar, my Egyptian maid. Sleep with her. Let her be your wife, and I'll get a child by her. And you all know what happened from that. Sarah fights Hagar. Sarah fights Hagar. Hagar fights Sarah. Ishmael, the child, fights Isaac. Isaac fights Ishmael. The children of Ishmael fight Isaac. The children of Isaac fight Ishmael. And the Muslims today, at least the Arab ones, trace their ancestry back through Ishmael. A whole lot of trouble, apparently, came through not waiting on God's promise. David didn't wait either, did he? He ran into bed with Bathsheba to sleep with her, not waiting upon the Lord. And you see that violence entered into David's house for centuries. Peter couldn't wait. Lord, shall I strike with the sword, Lord, in the garden? And before Jesus could even answer, he cuts off the slave's right ear. And the king, in Elisha's day, wanted to murder Elisha. And what were his words? He says, this trouble is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? So the basic lesson is here, it never goes well for us when we cease to hope and trust in God, to take matters into our own hands, to give up on waiting for him. As Gandalf said in Lord of the Rings, the hasty stroke goes oft astray. And that's not to say, though, that we can't deliver ourselves or take the opportunity when God gives it to us for deliverance. You've all probably heard that story about the man on the tin roof in the flood. Well, a canoe came by and said, jump on, we'll save you. And he said, nope, waiting on God. So they went away. The flood rose. Then came a Coast Guard boat and said, jump on, we'll save you. And he says, nope, waiting on God. The flood rose. This time he's at the edge of his tin roof, and a helicopter comes by, and they say, jump onto the ladder, and we'll save you. He says, no, I'm waiting on God. Well, he was swept away with the flood and died. He went up to heaven, supposedly, and said to God, "Lord, why did you not save me?" God says, "I tried. I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Right? Beth and I keep working toward her healing every day, and God's given us some progress there. To wait for the Lord doesn't mean you can't act and take the opportunities when God gives them to you to deliver yourself. But to wait on the Lord means that when you're under some great distress, you've maybe been under a sickness for a long, long time waiting for his answer, or whatever else, you do not abandon hope in him. But you continue looking to him for deliverance. You keep your faith in him, despite not seeing your answer for a long time. I want to ask you right now directly, me to you, do you do this? Is there something you're waiting on right there and you're wondering, well, should I continue to hope? Should I continue to believe? Trust in the Lord that his answer will come speedily? It's been so long. I don't know. Are you waiting today? Or God says to you through Isaiah in Isaiah 30, "My people, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength." So when God seems delayed, he says to us and says to you right now, "Wait on me. My answer will surely come, and it'll come speedily on the day when I answer you." Yes, but wait. Consider Monica. Remember her, the mother of Augustine, the great church father? Well, early in life, he was no great church father. He was a partier. He was a drinker. He slept with his girlfriend outside of marriage, got an illegitimate child by her, denied God for 32 years, lived a reckless life, followed all kinds of false religions. But his mother, a Christian, Monica, prayed for him with incessant prayers for 32 years and was constantly anxious and worried for him. One day she went to a bishop and said, "Please speak with my son." And the bishop knew him and eventually said, "Let him alone, only continue praying to the Lord for him. In the course of his study, he'll discover his error." She didn't want to hear about that, though. She was bawling and came after the bishop again with tears and would not let him alone till he finally said, "Oh, good woman, be gone and take heart, for it's impossible that the child of such tears should perish." And at age 32, the word of the Lord came to pass, and he became a Christian, and not only so, but one of the greats. So, are you still hoping today in the Lord? Jeremiah says, "He's filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. For the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Are you waiting quietly today? Can you say this with Jeremiah? Have you given up hope? Can you praise him even when you're in a storm and you don't see the clouds letting up when the troubling waves you're in for a long time? Well, God says in Isaiah, "Listen to me, my people. Give ear to to me, my nation. My deliverance draws near speedily. My salvation has gone forth. My arm will rule for the people, rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me. For my arm, they hope." So how do we keep faith when it seems a long time? Jesus tells us a parable. He says, there was a certain man, a judge, who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him day and night, "Vindicate me against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterwards said, "Because this widow bothers me, I'll vindicate her." And Jesus says, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. Even he'll give deliverance. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he'll vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Does he find faith in your heart right now? Do you know, when you prayed for deliverance up in heaven, an answer was given and was sent out speedily? but only to be delivered and opened at the proper time? Can you wait for it? Will the Son of Man, when he comes, find faith on earth? Will he find you still hoping in him? So what could you do while you're waiting to increase and keep your faith alive when you suffer? Well, first of all, I'd encourage you to look at God's person. He is true, as Jesus said, a righteous and good God. He can't wait to deliver you. Can you believe that in your present stress? He can't wait to deliver. He's anxious to save you. He will not delay a second too long. Secondly, look at his record. Know God's timing and things. One day, Jesus was walking in Jerusalem. He came to a man by a pool in Jerusalem who'd been lying there 38 years. And Jesus, when he saw that he'd been lying there a long time, the scripture says, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" He said, "I have no one to put me into the pool," etc. And Jesus says, "Rise and walk and take up your pallet." And he did, and he was healed after how many years? 38. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus healed a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many years? 12. Luke 13, he healed a woman of a spirit of infirmity who had had it for 18 years. How many years? 18. Joseph was 12 plus years. How many? 12. Abraham was 25 years waiting. Israel, 420 years. Beth, 24 years. And should we give up hope in her healing? Even when all seems lost, we say, God has missed the train. His timing, I tell you, is still perfect and will always be speedy. Look, for example, at Luke chapter 8. We read here about one time when God seems horribly, horribly late. We read, and there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he besought Jesus to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying, just like Naomi, 12 years, right? And then we have the woman with the flow of blood. He interrupts this procession to the house. How would you feel as the father? Hurry up, heal her, hurry up, speed up, pick it up. My daughter is almost dead. While he was still speaking, verse 49, a man from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she shall be well." And Jesus went into the house, spoke to her, and raised her from the dead. Was Jesus late on this occasion? By our standards, he was not only late, he was very, very late. He'd missed the train. She was dead. All hope is gone. Jesus, you didn't show up. But once again, his timing was perfect. And he answered it speedily and to his greatest glory and to your greatest joy when he gives you the victory. Remember, his purposes and thoughts towards you are good. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours, as the heavens are above the earth. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might he increases strength. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Do you think, let me ask you right now, you answer this. Do you think maybe God might be doing some hidden treasure in you through your waiting? Renewing your strength that you would mount up with wings like eagles? You know, Beth and I have been struggling, you know, with our health and energy for years, as you know. And you might think that after 24 years or 15 years of our marriage, that we'd be tired, exhausted, our faith would be gone because of her sickness, or we'd have trouble in our marriage. You know what? Through our struggling, through her difficulty, we are closer today than we would have been if she had not had that. Closer to each other and closer to God. Our faith is not smaller for it, but the stronger for it. Our hope has not grown dim. It's brighter every day for her deliverance. And as Beth told me, I told her in the sermon as I was preparing it, God's deliverance comes for you speedily. She says, "Yes, and that would be great if it were in this life, if it is. But if not, my suffering here will make his day all the sweeter for me when he comes." That's faith. That's waiting on the Lord. And sometimes he has hidden treasures for you you might not see in the waiting period that he is working in you to do a greater good for you and to his greater glory on the day when he comes speedily to deliver you. And you got to believe on that because our God is never late. Sometimes seems late, but he's always on time. He's never been a second late in all eternity. And Job said, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, I can't perceive him. On the left hand, I seek him, but I cannot behold him. I turn to the right hand, but I cannot find him. But he knows the way that I take. When he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold," he says. When his deliverance comes, watch out, it comes speedily, and he's going to do it for you. And we see this most especially, friends, in the person of Jesus Christ. You think God was just throwing him down here anytime? You know, hit the old slot machine? Well, go now, Jesus. Bible says, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Talk about thousands of years. The world was groaning and moaning under its sin and the tyranny of the devil. But God came at the right time. Jesus said to his brothers, "My time hasn't come, but your time is always here." He knew the time of his ministry. He knew the time of his death. He says in John 12, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to himself." How could he say that unless there was a careful plan in place? Do you believe there's a plan for you and your ailments? How could he say that unless he knew of a plan? And then he went up to Jerusalem because he knew that his hour had come to depart from the world to the Father. A great plan, yours, for the salvation of the world, for the salvation of souls, for eternal life and a redemption for all who would believe in him, planned for you even from before the foundation of the world. His timing was perfect then, and his timing will be perfect on his second coming. Peter says, don't ignore this one fact with the Lord. It's 1,000 years as one day. One day is 1,000 years. The Lord is not slow about his promise, but he's forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And Paul says in Acts, he has a day fixed upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. And his timing will be perfect for you to deliver you at the right time and speedily. But once again I ask, will you hope in him till then? Will you keep faith and be found expectantly waiting for him on that last day? And here's the promise. Isaiah 25, God will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that's spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And God will wipe away tears from all faces, the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, we've waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Are you struggling today? His answer may be a yes right now, or a no, or a wait, but it's always for your good. And be sure, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What About When God's Timing Doesn't Match Your Timing for Prayer Answers? I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home, our services are 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday and 12 noon and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. If you'd like to hear more messages, please visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.